G'day, I'm Irk, and welcome to episode number 4 of Irk to the Dory Room, where I talk about TV, movies, entertainment, and a lot more, coming to you from the mobile Dory Room. You can find the show notes and more information about the shows that I talk about, previous episodes and more, by going to irktothedoryroom.com. This particular episode is inspired by real-life events. I wasn't necessarily going to talk about these shows that I was going to talk about now, but considering that I am a train driver here in Sydney, I drive the suburban train, so I'd be the Sydney equivalent of a tube driver or a subway driver. Real-life events tonight sort of inspire what I'm going to be talking about, because tonight, with my train, I actually struck a kangaroo, of all things. Yes, a kangaroo. In suburban Sydney, outer western suburban Sydney, I might add, I hit a kangaroo. Didn't see him until the last second, and there was absolutely nothing that I could have done. And I didn't even know until the train behind me had actually confirmed it, that it was indeed actually a kangaroo that I'd struck. Anywho, what sort of segue can you make from that? Well, what I'm going to talk about tonight is several DVDs and or documentaries that I've seen on railway sort of topics of interest. Now, in case you don't know me very well, I've had a long-term interest in trains. I've wanted to be a train driver ever since I was a little kid. From, I think it was the age of 4 or 5, I've been within sighting distance or walking distance of the main Western railway line here in outer Western Sydney. And so, on several occasions, in a couple of the different places that I've lived in, you can actually see the trains and or hear the trains from where I live. And I've actually been lucky enough to be able to drive trains for the last 7 years. So it's been a bit of a passion of mine. I basically am interested in a lot of things railway, basically. And ever since I was a little kid, I knew what I wanted to do, and I'm now doing it. So it might not surprise you to find out that I do have some railway DVDs in my collection, although not a massive amount. I've had to control myself somewhat, as there are so many originally videotapes and now DVDs that I could own that various people have put together. But now it's a case of, you know, DVDs and even on television, you can see some documentaries. And the documentary that's probably most relevant to what I was talking about with the kangaroo is a program that's actually on my Foxtel pay TV here in Australia on the BBC Knowledge channel, which is called The Underground. I believe that it's a BBC documentary series. I'm actually partway through the series. I don't believe that I caught it right at the start. However, there was a similar series done by ITV in the UK called The Tube. And they've basically got the same premise. They're behind the scenes, fly on the wall type documentaries, the tag along sort of documentaries where a camera crew basically come along and tag along with whoever they want to watch. Both shows, The Underground and The Tube, they have a similar sort of premise and a similar sort of format, where they might talk about a particular topic on an episode, depending on what's going on the train system at the time, and depending on what particular subject they're focusing on. It's quite ironic that the other day I came home from work. At the moment, I think it's on Thursday nights. and you may be able to find it at other times on BBC Knowledge on Foxtel, because Foxtel tend to repeat a lot of their programs, if not once, maybe several times a week. But the one that I tape, I'm pretty sure, is on Thursday nights on BBC Knowledge. Anywho, that particular episode was talking about a subject that some people don't like talking about, but for me as a train driver, it's a fact of life. It's something that I have to be prepared for, in terms of injuries and death on the railways caused by trespassers, suicide, or whatever. And they actually talk about, in the last episode that I watched, they talked about hitting various objects, and then today, what happens? I hit a kangaroo, of all things, a very Australian thing to hit. You'd think that you would be out in the country area somewhere, but in some pockets of outer western Sydney, there are still kangaroos. So one obviously got onto the train tracks today and I hit it. There was one driver there who was talking about being religious, and every time she passed a cemetery, didn't matter what cemetery it was on her particular route, she'd bless herself because that's what she believed religiously. You had other drivers talking about particular incidents they'd had. They went into the sort of emergency response, the guys who actually go onto the track and clean up and all of that sort of stuff. Now, of course, all of this sort of talk isn't for everyone, and the behind the scenes thing isn't necessarily for everyone, but it does give people, especially those people who actually commute to work, a behind the scenes look at things that me as a railway employee, and of course, usual disclaimer here, personal opinions only, these things I see and I know about on a daily basis, and so I might take them for granted, whereas a regular commuter might not think of the driver up the front of the train or the person working in the signal box or train control, or indeed the people who clean the tracks, maintain the tracks, all those sort of things. So this particular pair of series, the Tube and the Underground, they focus on things that the regular rail commuter might actually find of interest if they knew about it. They might say, oh, how come there's so much track work going on the weekends, for instance? And then they'll have an episode based on track work and the upgrades that the London Underground, among other operators, are doing and why it's necessary to do and all of that sort of stuff. So, to me, it's extremely interesting, of course, because of my employment and my interest and all that sort of stuff. Would it have mainstream appeal? It might have mainstream appeal if more people sort of knew about it. I obviously can't speak for the UK, but I actually found The Tube on DVD in a couple of different series at a railway bookshop. If you're in Sydney and you're into trains, you might well know of it. The Australian Railway Historical Society, they've got a bookshop at Central Station in Sydney, so you can get a wide variety of railway DVDs and all of that sort of stuff. And so that's how I found The Tube. And so I watched those two series on DVD. And then it was just by chance that I was having a look through the program guide the other day, and I found The Underground on BBC Knowledge, so that was rather cool. I'm going to have to look around to see if I can find out. That's only a relatively new series, so it might not even be on DVD yet, to see what I have indeed missed out on. There is a wide variety of videos available, and depending on what you want to see, there are videos and DVDs out there for everyone's sort of different tastes in railways. one series that I find rather interesting. Again, it's on an underground thing where they've got the different lines, and they call them driver's eyes views. And so basically the train drives around the London Underground and you would see basically what the driver sees. There's the occasional shot showing the train going through the scenery or whatever. From memory, there's actually very little commentary on it, although I could be wrong, it's been a while since I've actually watched them. And so you can get ones for each of the London Underground lines. You can also get some for other train trips as well. One recent video that I did actually purchase was a driver's eye view of the Eurostar that runs between Paris and London via the Channel Tunnel. That one was very interesting because I'd been on the Eurostar in 2011, and also there was another one which was done. There was another Eurostar version, and that was from Brussels as well. And then there was another one that was the TGV in France. And so all of those were narrated by the same guy, and this guy had an interesting habit. He was quite happy seeing miles per hour, but when it came to kilometres per hour, he'd call it KPH instead of kilometres per hour, or just kilometres. But overall, it's very well researched, very well done. It explains points of interest, towns, stations, sidings, changes in operating procedures, what it's like to go under the English Tunnel, the signalling systems that are used. An interesting fact that I learned in the French video, for instance, was that they don't expect drivers to read any signs by the side of the track if the train's going over 220 kilometres an hour, which I thought was interesting. Also interesting was the fact that the train driver in the non-high-speed sections in some parts of France, when they pass another train, they have to blow their horn when they pass the last carriage of the train passing in the opposite direction. So two trains have passed, and it's usually a driver's thing that the drivers wave at each other, even if they're different companies or whatever. And then when the driver reaches the rear carriage of the train in the opposite direction, they give a little horn again, which I thought was rather interesting, to say the least. Also interesting was the fact that in parts of France that were formerly parts of Germany, the trains basically drive on the right-hand side. The tracks are arranged so the trains are on the right-hand side. And then when it gets to French parts of France that were never part of Germany, it actually switches over to the left. So all sorts of interesting stuff there. I know I could spend hours and a lot of money on railway DVDs. I don't necessarily do it, but the opportunity is there if you're interested. Now, the CabView ones probably won't make it to TV, whereas the ones that are like on the based on the Tube or the video series, the Tube or the Underground, they were made specifically for TV, whereas the other ones are mainly aimed at the railway enthusiast that will go out and buy the DVDs and all that sort of stuff. It's not necessarily something that's aimed at television audiences. Another DVD set that I purchased a few months ago now, which was aimed at the television audience, was called Extreme Trains. I purchased it on DVD, the whole series. I think there was 6 DVDs in the box. Originally appearing on the History Channel in the US, I'm not sure if it's actually made it onto Foxtel here in Australia. I haven't seen it. But it's called Extreme Trains. And the host of the show isn't your regular talking head on a TV show. The host is actually a railway employee. I think he lives in Florida or something like that, working for a particular company down there. But he has crossed the American coast from side to side. And what he did, he got on several trains up the front. And depending on what they were talking about that particular week, they might have taken you on a high-speed train ride. On a passenger service, they might have taken you on a freight train. He might have gone out with the maintenance crew. He's gone to steam museums, historical sites, and a lot more. So he's given, in this series, he gives you a wide variety of American railways over this 6-box DVD. He is a little on the hyper side, and I can imagine that there's a lot of train drivers out there who, in my case, on the suburban trains, I usually don't have anyone for company. However, on the freight trains, you usually have a couple of people. And so, depending on the driver, they might not say a lot. They might just like the peace and quiet, concentrate on what they have to do, because train driving, it's not so much a physical job anymore, although you do tend to feel it in the shoulders and the arms because of the levers. It's a very mentally stimulating and mentally challenging job, remembering your route knowledge and your knowledge of your train and your surroundings and your procedures and what goes wrong if, you know, your train breaks down or you hit a kangaroo or something like that. There's just so much to remember. And then if something happens, you basically need instant recall. Oh, what do I do in this situation? So if you're concentrating on all that, you might not necessarily want this big, overly happy train driving, hosting guy in your cabin, you know, telling what to you is Captain Obvious type things, but, you know, the viewers might find interesting. So I dare say that some of these drivers or engineers and conductors might have found this guy a little bit of a challenge. Very interesting series. I watched all the DVDs in a couple of days, and it certainly gave me a good overview of American trains, American procedures, and all of that sort of stuff. And again, some of the behind-the-scenes things that you don't necessarily see as a rail passenger or when you're watching the freight trains go by or whatever. My only possible criticism of the series was that, you know, you'd be getting into the story, say of a transcontinental freight train as a classic example, and so you'd think that, you know, you'd have enough stories to tell in that episode of a train going from New York City to Los Angeles as a classic example. And so you'd get so far down the track and then it's like, oh, okay, we have to cater for the people with ADD now, so now we're going to go to a steam train museum, even though you've said that the episode is about freight trains and, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Or you'd get a bit further, oh, okay, now we're going to cater for the people with ADD again, and we're going to talk about maintenance, even though, you know, there's a whole DVD dedicated to maintenance, for instance. And so I understand that you have to sort of cater for people's shorter attention spans these days, but if I'm watching a series, and if I'm watching a show that's, say, for instance, based on freight trains, I don't want to go to a train museum. Here's a thought. You could put all the train museum pieces that you did, put them together, and have an episode. Because in the end, it just got predictable. It's like, oh, okay, it's about halfway through the episode. oh, we must be about ready to go to the Steam Train Museum. Oh, look, Steam Train Museum. Have a drink. You know, it can get a little bit predictable like that, but if you're into America, if you like America, and I know not a lot of people do, or if you are indeed American, you may find that particular series, you might find it to be a good series. Apart from all of those DVDs, I don't think that there's actually a lot of railways on TV, unless it comes to like one of these disaster shows, Seconds from Disaster or whatever. I think here in Sydney, as a classic example, if they did a behind-the-scenes view of my company, for instance, and they made it into a TV series like they have with, for instance, police recruits, paramedic recruits, firefighters, all of that sort of stuff, the various cop shows, the various medical and firefighter shows, there are a lot of people that, if you mention the fact that you're a train driver, they get very interested because they want to find out the stuff that I know that you don't necessarily see or they don't necessarily know. You know, it can become a great subject of conversation when you're at a party, for instance, and you're having dinner at a dinner party and someone says, oh, what do you do for a job? And I'll say, oh, I'm a train driver. And so the questions that they'll usually ask me are, where's the steering wheel? And I have had that question from otherwise intelligent adults. Where's the steering wheel? Why is my train late? Why is my train dirty? And can you adjust the air conditioning for me? Is it a good job? And have you killed anybody? Yeah, they're the other questions that you usually get asked as a train driver. But if people saw what goes on behind the scenes, I have said for many years that people want to know the behind the scenes sort of thing. You don't necessarily have time when something happens out there on the network. You don't necessarily have time to explain to every single person in the detail that they need what is actually going on when I say that, you know, I can't move because my electric train has no power. Whereas if people have seen it on a TV documentary, for instance, they might think, oh, okay, so that's what happens when Irk says that he hasn't got any power on his train because there's no overhead power in the wires above his head. Because, you know, there are so many delays on all sorts of systems over the world, and so many of them can be avoided if people sort of did the right thing. Actually, as I'm recording this, we've just finished Rail Safety Week here in Sydney. And so, as a classic example, that might have been a great time to have a behind-the-scenes sort of series made, I reckon. If they did that in Sydney, I think, A, it'd be awesome. And B, I wouldn't mind getting my head on TV, you know, talking about what it's like to be a driver. And overall, it's a great job. You know, it does have its advantages, it does have its disadvantages. Some people, and even in these documentaries, they say it's a good job, and when everything's going okay, you know, it can get pretty cruisy at times, you get into your routine, but when something happens out of the ordinary, that is when you earn your coin. And it doesn't matter what sort of job we're talking about. I'm sure that there's various jobs out there where people, you know, have exactly the same sort of thought. So I'll leave a link on the show notes. I'll try and find out more information where you can find the three series in particular that I spoke about The one's from the UK called The Tube and The Underground, and the American series called Extreme Trains. I'll try and find links and put them on the show notes. You can find the show notes at irktothediaryroom.com. If you have anything to say, you can contact me on the social networks. There's links on the show notes. You can indeed leave me a message on the show notes itself on each episode, or you can email me irkpod@gmail.com, and eventually I'll have to do a listener feedback episode or mention some feedback. However, of course, at the time I'm actually recording this, I'm the only person to have actually heard all four episodes, because what I'm doing at the moment, I'm doing five or six episodes ready so I can submit the podcast pretty quickly to iTunes and then sort of drop back to a weekly or bi-weekly format. So I hope you're enjoying the show. There's so many shows that I could talk about on the next episode. You are going to have to tune in and to find out what I'm actually going to be talking about next. I might even talk about the current season of Australian Big Brother. Who knows? You're just going to have to come along with me for the ride, because even I don't know what I'm going to be talking about next time when I'm in the diary room. I'm Irk. Thank you very much for listening. Coming to you from the mobile diary room. Until next time, thank you for listening. And good night, Interweb.